Hey there. If it's 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, it must be time for This Week in Waukesha. I am your host, Alderman for Life, Don Brown, coming to you live from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown. That's right, the Mar-a-Lago of the Midwest, also known as the Walk Radio Studios here at 217 Wisconsin Avenue, here in the NAMI building, around the corner from Theodora Humans Park. Proud of our suffragette heritage here in the Shaw. I am very pleased to have back as my guest, U.S. Senate candidate Pete Pekarsky. Pete, say hello.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Great to have you. And real quick, Pete was kind to fill in for my new good friend, Tony Marquez, who was going to be my guest today. But Tony, unfortunately, had some family matters to attend to. But he does want to come back. So look for Tony. Those that were tuning in to hear and see Tony, look forward to seeing Tony in June. He does want to be on the show and tell you what Waukesha means to him and his plans for the future. So, but real quick, before we begin with Pete, some big news, big congratulations. And I think it's one of the reasons Pete came to town is to the Waukesha South esports team on winning the Wisconsin State Championship last week, undefeated season. And to celebrate this week in Waukesha's guest next week is their coach, Andrew M. Yip, who is also a math teacher at Waukesha South. And Andrew's going to try to get some of the teammates to come join us next Saturday. So look forward to that. And then in other sports, too, our Waukesha South girls soccer team beat the Comets of Delavan on Thursday, 2-0. They play at McGuanago next week. And then our Waukesha South varsity boys baseball team was victorious last night against visiting Deerfield High Demons of Dane County. That's where you are, Jason. Big win, especially after suffering a tough loss to the Canisius Crusaders of Catholic Memorial. I believe that was 9-4 on Wednesday or Thursday night. But big shout out also to the Waukesha JV South baseball team and their 3-game winning streak with wins over Racine Lutheran, the Canisius Crusaders of Catholic Memorial High, and also Dane County's Deerfield High. Logan Dable logged a no-hitter in an 18-0 win against Racine Lutheran. And then in last night's game against Deerfield, Evan Stout hit an in-the-park homer at Frame Park. So real privilege, real joy to be part of that moment. And then also, too, going back to the varsity against Catholic Memorial, Eric Teagues, who's now batting, had his first hit of the season, and it was an RBI single. And so really excited to see Eric's progress is continuing after, you know, everything that had happened last week of the Christmas parade and last November. But this is a good lead in with Pete because, you know, for me, I've come full circle. I guess a lot of us have. I was in that Christmas parade at the front last November. I didn't witness any of the atrocities. But and then just, you know, this time last week, my hometown in Buffalo, New York, witnessed a horrendous racially motivated attack by a confused young man. And, you know, and it's just it seems like it's happening everywhere. We talk about 6 degrees of separation. Now it's just like 6 degrees of violence and the mindless menace of violence, as one of my role models used to call it. And you know, Pete, I know it's part of your message and what you're trying to do in your campaign. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, because obviously you have to be obviously very affected, disgusted by what's going on. And, you know, what would you do as our U.S. Senator to try to address the violence that's going on in our country?
I am very saddened by it. This is tragic, to say the very least. We're going to have to work together in various ways to try and reduce the circumstances which lead to this, which lead to the there are various things going on which may contribute to this. And to the extent those occurrences can be decreased and people can be encouraged to reason together, to respect each other, to act in a reasonable manner, has got to happen. A lot of that has got to come out of each of the communities. It is unfortunately not something that can be legislated in the United States Congress. But there's a lot of that that's got to happen to the extent that making funds available to address causes of violence, roots of violence, to encourage people to respond to very difficult situations in a nonviolent manner that may help to the extent funds that can be available to provide the mental health resources that are needed in a number of areas and just aren't there.
Thanks.
Yeah. And I'm glad that's glad something you mentioned that can be done.
Yeah. Because, you know, again, May is Mental Health Awareness a month, so I'm glad you brought that up. You know, our guest last week was Mary Madden, who's the executive director of NAMI, and we were talking about kind of normalizing our understanding of mental health and really breaking down the stigma that still surrounds that. And yeah, again, with some of the violence, there's some mental health issues behind that. But there's also disinformation that's just feeding on people that, again, feeding on people's hatred and fears. And, you know, and how do you as a leader propose to address that, especially when there's people in our Congress that are either buying into these things like replacement theory or they're definitely exploiting it?
You have to stand up to it, as far as I'm concerned, and tell the truth. And every time somebody says something that is just totally wrong, flat out lie, somebody's got to stand up and say, that is wrong, and here's why. And whether that person is on the floor of the Senate or the House or on a cable network or on an over-the-air network, somebody's got to stand up and say, this is flat out wrong, and tell people, you know, this is incorrect. You know, do not act on it. Check for yourself. You can see that what you're being fed is just flat out incorrect.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, well, I appreciate that. And I appreciate you being back. And for those that weren't here, you know, Pete was on the show back in February. And we were really excited to have him because, you know, it seems like the candidates with the most money are the ones getting the most attention. But, you know, here we have a gentleman that if he were to put all the degrees at the end of his name, you'd be reading the alphabet. And then he's also got an extraordinary career in intelligence and U.S. security. And just if you don't mind, just giving a little recap here for our listeners.
Sure. The background is I got a couple degrees from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. One of them is in electrical engineering. Got a law degree from Case. I was a
Case
Western Reserve University in Cleveland. Right, the law school there. Because of the training I had and education I had. At MIT with someone who had advised, I think it was six or seven secretaries of defense and five presidents in a row for 20 years on various issues related to nuclear weapons. I was a civilian consultant to the chief of naval operations of the United States Navy on issues of strategic nuclear forces and platforms and to the director of naval intelligence on matters of intelligence analysis, which has given me a substantial amount of insight into current events, both right now and over the last, ever since I've had that experience.
Okay.
And I've followed things in that field.
Appreciate it, yeah. So, and then you did some work with CNN, correct? And I'm sorry if I missed that.
Oh, the CNN, it wasn't work with CNN. I mean, at one point I was a White House correspondent, but I think the CNN clip you're talking about, people can find it on YouTube. It was the debate for the people who were running to be chair of the Democratic National Committee. I was one of the candidates, and I was asked a question which was along the lines of Donald Trump says something or other, and like there were extra voters, and all of this might lead to more laws requiring voter ID. And the final bottom line question was, what's wrong with voter ID laws? And I said, so I wanted to make certain that I was hearing the question right, because it was a pretty obvious answer. So, and the person asking the question said, yeah, what's wrong with voter ID laws? And what I said was, and the room pretty much just exploded in applause. Yeah, after I got done, what I said was, the problem with voter ID laws is that those that exist are by and large a violation of the United States Constitution. And what's going on here is that the Republican Party is disenfranchising people because of the color of their skin, or trying to. And that's something that we have to avoid. That is, everybody is entitled to vote, and everybody's entitled to have that vote counted as cast.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, and there are those that believe that it should be based on whether or not you own property or those types of things. And, you know, what's your response to that? I know what mine is.
My response is that's not in the Constitution.
Yeah.
And the other thing I said, in terms of calling people out when they're uttering falsehoods, one of the falsehoods that Donald Trump was offering at that time was, well, there were an extra 3 million voters, which was flat out wrong. And I said then, and you can see it on the YouTube video, If Mr. Trump has proof of a crime, he ought to get sworn in, take the stand and say, okay, here are the names of the 3 million people I know about personally who voted in this election. But he hasn't done that and couldn't do it because those people didn't exist.
They don't exist. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So, and switching gears for a second is, obviously nobody's happy with our gas prices. And of course it's in past administrations, it's always, you know, the first finger is pointed at the White House or the president and, or our leadership. And, you know, what's your response to that? Or how do you feel a question or an opinion like that?
The president doesn't control the economy or gas prices, in particular, gas prices. I mean, things have gone, and whether prices should be as high as they are is a matter for the Antitrust Division of the United States Department of Justice, and I hope they'll look at it. But I don't find, the price of a barrel of oil has gone up. When the price of the barrel of oil goes up, the price of a gallon of gas at your local gas station goes up also. But that's not something that's controlled by the President of the United States.
Thank you. Yeah. So stick around. We have a little bit more with Pete Pekarsky. And again, here in this week in Waukesha, we believe in making America better than ever was, is giving our candidates a level playing field. And you really should pay attention to what Pete Pekarsky is all about. So stick around for more. This Week in Waukesha continues.